If you would, take your Bibles with me this evening and turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we'll be looking at verses 10 and 12, along with many other verses tonight. So our goal for tonight is to see the importance of the call that you and I have been given to be faithful. And many today, they have this idea of what faith is, and most of the time, even as Christians, we have a pretty good idea of what, you know, that word means. But if you and I are to understand our call to be faithful, then before we go any further, we need to understand what that word actually means, to have a proper definition of faith so that we can know how to execute the faith, the call to be faithful that God has given to you and I. In Hebrews 11, in verse 1, it says this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So that word faith, simply defined, is a complete trust in someone or something that we cannot physically see, to be completely committed to. Although you and I cannot physically see God, we can clearly see the evidence all around us throughout his creation. Just giving a look through nature has more than enough compelling evidence to prove that there is indeed a God. The world has a problem with this idea of faith, because they don't operate by the same faith that you and I do. Their faith is solely based upon that which they can physically see. That phrase, seeing is believing, may be a familiar phrase to all of us and very accurately depicts worldly faith. You and I, though, are called to walk by faith and not by our sight, to having complete trust in God, knowing that he is in complete control of everything. Since you and I believe that there is a God, you and I are called to be faithful, to be fully committed to him, and to do whatever he would have for us to do so that we accomplish his will for our lives. You and I, as we put our faith and trust in Christ, will be able to grow in our walk with God and be able to do things that God has called you and I to do. In order for us to understand our call to faithfulness, we must first understand that faithfulness is required in the little things. Again, your Bibles are open to Luke chapter 16. We'll read verses 10 through 13, actually. It says, "He that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Before we dive any further into the message, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you again tonight, I pray that you would help us to understand what our call to be faithful is, Lord, that we would understand the importance of our call, Lord, as we believe in you, Lord, as we are seeking to accomplish your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, that we would understand that call, and that you would use us to the best of our ability, Lord, and that in everything that we do and everything that we say, your name be praised and your name be glorified. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Charles Spurgeon preached to thousands in London every single Sunday. And yet, when he started out in ministry, he started by passing out tracts and teaching a Sunday school class as a teenager. When he began to give short messages to the Sunday school, God then started to bless his ministry of preaching and teaching the word. He was invited to preach in obscure places in the countryside, and he used every single opportunity that he had to honor the Lord. He was faithful in the small things, and God trusted him with the greater things. And as an adult, Spurgeon would later make the following statement. He would say, "I am perfectly sure that if I had not been willing to preach to those small gatherings of people in obscure country places, I should never have had the privilege of preaching to thousands of men and women in large buildings all over the land. Remember our Lord's rule, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Folks, you and I are called to be faithful in every aspect of our Christian walk. We are called to be faithful in the little things. What are some of those little things that you and I are called to be faithful in? First is our walk with God. This one is perhaps the easiest one for us to point out, but at times it's the hardest one for us to follow. The problem that you and I have when we try spending time in God's word is that you and I don't always do our devotions out of a want to grow. We'd really do it out of a sense of duty. I have to do this. I have to have my checklist and get it done. And in reality, it is hard sometimes. But, you know, like being down at college, I have to make sure that with a schedule and stuff, that I am constantly in each and every day purposing to set apart time to spend in God's word. We always try to make the excuse, though, don't we, that we don't have the time. We are so busy that we just can't possibly fit it into our day. And if we do, it's a really short sliver of our time. And it's not, folks, that we necessarily run out of time, but the reality comes down to the fact we don't always make the time or make the effort to spend in God's word. We don't want this to get away in the way of our personal time. We want to have our me time, and that can just be pushed to the back of our minds. But if you and I are to be faithful and to understand what we are to be faithful in, we are to be faithful in our walk with God. We're also to be faithful in the little things with our talents. Again, I preached last week and challenged us with stewardship. And this call to be faithful requires you and I to use the talents that God has given to us, to use the abilities that he has equipped us with. The rut that we tend to get into, though, is, well, I don't think my talents are of any use. I might as well just not use them. In this parable of the stewards, what did the master say to the steward that didn't use the talents that he was given? He says, "Thou wicked, slothful servant." So many of us may think also, I can't possibly use my talents because this person is so much better at it than I am. What you and I fail to recognize is that you cannot use your talents to the fullest of your abilities. You can't do it in your own power, excuse me. But Philippians 4:13 encourages us with this. It says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." It is through God's strength and God's strength alone that is able to help you and I use our talents to the fullest and to the best of our abilities. We must come to the point in faith and say, "Lord, I understand that the talents that you have given me are for a specific purpose, and therefore, and you use them so that I can accomplish your will for my life." So you and I are tasked to be faithful in the little things, because it is the little things, like in Charles Spurgeon's life, that can lead you and I to do great things for God. But not only do we realize that we are to be faithful in the little things, but we can also realize that faithfulness requires us to take action. Faithfulness requires us to take action. James 1:22-24 really speaks to this, and it says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So when you and I wake up in the morning, we're getting ready for our day, what do most of us do first? You know, we go to the bathroom, we look in the mirror, and most of us are greeted by that face. You go, "Hey, what is that?" You know, because your hair is all over the place, you got stuff in your eyes, and you look like you died. After we get over the initial shock, however, what's the next step that we do? We shower, fix up our hair, brush our teeth, anything to make us look more awake and alive and alert so that we can face the challenges from day to day that will come our way. You and I should approach faithfulness then in the same manner. When we see a spiritual problem in our lives, you and I should take action to correct that which is wrong. And we can only take action then when we first see the problem. And again, James 1:22 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For us to see the spiritual problem, we must be actively searching and listening to God's word as it is presented to us and as we study it for ourselves. If you and I don't realize that we have a problem, then how are we going to know what needs to be fixed? Again, the illustration that James gives here is a very good one. It says, the man, he beholdeth himself in the glass and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The only way that you and I can fix the spiritual problems is through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, helping us to see the need that you and I have, and then us, through God's strength, are we able to fix the problems. You cannot be a faithful doer if you do not hear the word, and being just a hearer does nothing when we refuse to take action. So you and I have now seen our call to be faithful. To be faithful first requires us to have faith in the little things, and also our faith requires us to take action. The final thing that I want you and I to see tonight is this. Faithfulness requires dedication. C.T. Studd, the famous English cricketer and member of the English 11th cricket team, gave away his vast wealth and became a missionary about a century ago. And his slogan was simply this as he was going off to the mission field. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If you and I are to live out our faith, it requires you and I to be fully committed, to be fully dedicated to whatever God would call us to do. The reason that you and I are to be dedicated is because what God has done for us. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, in verse 19, it gives us our first reason. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. The reason why we are to be dedicated to God is, first off, he graciously created you and I. And the other reason, God graciously chose to send his son to die for you and me. He gave his life for you and I. Is it too much for us to commit ourselves to God? Hebrews 10:23 gives you and I the challenge to remain faithfully dedicated to God. The verse says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You and I are challenged to be faithful to God because he is always faithful to you and I. Since Christ has died for you and I, we should be filled with this desire to serve him because we have everything that we need in Christ, and he gives us the direction that we need to faithfully serve him. And Hebrews 13, verse 5 gives us these comforting words. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you and I fully dedicate ourselves to God, to commit to walk in the way that he would have you and I to walk, it says that God will be with you every step of the way. He'll be with you through the easy times, and he will be with you through the hard times of your walk. You and I are challenged, though, to remain dedicated, to hold fast to the profession of the faith that we have been given. We are not to waver in that at all. All it takes for you and I to be dedicated to God and his will is having a humble spirit, being one who is ready to take on the challenges that the world presents to them because they know whose side they're on and who is on their side. The challenge is presented to you and I to follow the call of God to be faithful to him no matter what. It is not always easy to step out in faith because, again, a lot of times we walk by sight. We can't physically see what lies ahead, and it frightens us. But if you and I are to be faithful in those little things, be faithful in action, and if we fully dedicate ourselves to God, into God's will for you and me, then again, we get the wonderful promise that he is always going to be with us, that he will always give us the strength to accomplish what he has for you and I to do. Are you willing to take up that call to be faithful? Or are you too fearful of the outcome because you cannot see it? There is no greater joy than when God's people are fully committed to be faithful servants to their God. Consider the words of John Calvin. He says this, "Govern my heart that I may be willing and even eager to profit, lest the opportunity which thou now givest me be lost through my sluggishness. Be pleased at the same time to root out all facetious desires of seeking thee. Finally, let the only end at which I am be so to qualify myself in early life, that when I grow up, I may serve thee in whatever station thou mayest assign me." You and I must be willing in humility to say, "Lord, I know that you have a perfect plan for me, and I'm willing to commit to that, to be faithful to you no matter the cost, and do whatever it is you want me to do." It is required of you and I to be found faithful. A fitting song that really beautifully describes this is the song that's familiar to many of us. It is, "May the Lord Find Us Faithful." If you would, just listen to the words as I read them. It says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey with power and sound mind, with love, the unfailing kind. Oh, be not ashamed of his way. No man that seeketh after things of this life is a soldier who passes the test. Be faithful, be working, be running, be serving. Be searching his word for his best. Living or dying, may honor be thine from this wretched life you loved and forgave. A life that is on fire, be only our heart's desire. Be faithful from now to the grave." And then the chorus. "May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful every day, though we live, though we die." Is it said of you and I that we are faithful to the call that God has given to us? Do we have a life that's on fire for Christ? Are we willing to serve him no matter what, going to wherever he would direct us to go? Are we ones that will be faithful for our entire lives? So then the final question that I have to ask you is this. Will you answer his call to be faithful? Pray with me, please, as we close. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful challenge that you've given to us in your word to be faithful. This call that you've given to us to be faithful servants of you. Lord, it is not always easy to be faithful, especially when you and I live in such a physical world where we don't operate by faith, Lord, we operate by sight. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us as your children to realize that you are with us every step of the way, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, and also that you give us the strength to do that which you have called us to so graciously do. Lord, I pray for each and every one in this congregation that that would be the prayer of their lives, that may the Lord find us faithful, that when you are to return, Lord, that you would see your bride and see a people that is faithfully committed to you. And Lord, we thank you now for this time and just thank you for the many opportunities that you give us to be able to serve you and to show our faithfulness to you. We pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.